That was really re that really registered with me because my grandpa's name is Aryeh, which is means lion in Hebrew. So yeah, Alhamdulillah, it's amazing, when people tell their stories like that, what it can really, do and how it can reach people, all the way around the world, just right around the world, just amazing. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I'm so grateful that I came across that book, and Miko does great work.
And he's Israeli, he's Jewish. His great, I think it was his grandfather was one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence for Israel. And then he saw the injustices that were happening and he started speaking up. His humanity was on. And he is to this day a pioneer. And it's amazing to see how he's affected your life also as someone who's Jewish, who accepted Islam, and Miko being part of that journey. That's truly amazing. How have your parents, your family, taken to you becoming one who has submitted his will to the will of God? I like to define these terms, a Muslim.
Yeah.
Has it been a struggle? Has it been challenging?
Yeah.
Are they accepting of it?
Alhamdulillah for everything. Each of them, they're in their own, place spiritually and religiously, right? Everyone is on their own journey. For the most part, they accept me. I think it can be kind of challenging when there's a member of the family who is religious and spiritual to do good in the family, to be a model in the family, spiritually and religiously. I think that can create some discomfort and nuances and uncertainties. But overall, alhamdulillah, it's been good.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Tell me, is this correct? When you have this term now, you have different ethnicities. So, how do you like to classify somebody who's from a Jewish background? So, when the person is Muslim, is it correct? You have Jew would be their ethnicity.
Okay, so
basically everyone. It's a religion.
Judaism
Do
is
you
also
not
an
agree
ethnicity.
that you are a white man?
I mean, I think that it depends on the context in which you're discussing it.
So
Meaning
what
that
are you, Ben? Are you not a white guy?
I mean, I'm a man
Are
of
you?
Jewish ethnicity, which is sometimes grouped with white and sometimes not. I mean, that's the more accurate way to put it. But
The religion is Islam, so is he now a Jewish Muslim? How do you reconcile with the terms? Because a Jew can also be an atheist. You have many secular Jews who are not religious at all, not practicing, but their ethnicity is of Jewish descent.
It's interesting. I mean, the word Jew, of course, comes from Judah, who was one of the sons of Prophet Yaqub, alayhi salam. Lately, I've been identifying. I identify as Muslim, Bani Israel. Bani Israel being
Okay, from the children of Israel, Bani Israel,
my
children of
children.
Israel.
Yeah, and just to note, I mean, I think it's important to share how I approach this very sensitive, beautiful word, Yisrael. Of course, the first letter is the Yud, right? It's not I, is actually a vowel. It's a harik, which is in my name. There's two hariks. And this is the Hebrew vowels. The hiddik is just a dot under the consonants. And so my name, Bin Yamin, has the hiddik under the first letter, bet. And it's just an I sound. So this name of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, after he wrestled with an angel, with a divine figure, and was blessed with this name, Yisrael. Yisrael means mujahid. Yisrael means struggle with Allah, struggle with God. And that can be taken two ways, right? Someone could struggle with God in that they're struggling to submit their will to God, or it could mean struggle, you know, for God, carrying their life out with the remembrance of Allah and his revelations, his words, his guidance, and his messengers and prophets, peace be upon them all. So to kind of take this Semitic, to take this powerful Semitic word of Israel and to put it into in an English context using the Latin alphabet, I spell it YES'RA'IL. And this is to do kind of two things here. It's the first is an affirmation, right? It's a yes. It's to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed favor upon the Bani Israel. He has blessed the children of Israel, the sons and daughters of Israel, And the RA, the Ra is kind of like, I mean, the letter R goes back to the Semitic, you know, Resh, it's Resh in Hebrew, in Arabic, I think it's Ra as well. But that means like head, and then, you know, Ra'il, il is like God, so, or one of the ancient names of creator, right? Because any name like this with Israel, like il, it's a theophoric name. Theophoric means it contains the name of God in it. So other theophoric names with il are like Michael, you know, Mikhail, Elizabeth, those are ones with you know, E or I and L, and then there's also the three or four names with Yah, so like Zechariah, Elijah, and so on. And so I like this kind of juxtaposition of the RA and the IL, because it makes me think of like Peace Train. because I grew up with a very strong musical song and sound tradition. In third grade music class, we learned about Yusuf Islam, Brother Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens, and so now when I write Israel in English, in writing YES'RA'IL. I think about Peace Train and that beautiful piece. So, alhamdulillah.
I think this is extremely important, that the history that many have forgotten about, don't even know about, the time when Jews were persecuted, and they weren't persecuted by Muslims. They were persecuted by others, and they fled that persecution into Muslim lands. They were welcomed. Places like Albania, Bosnia, Turkey, Spain, the golden age for Jews was in Andalus, in Spain, where people like Maimonides, Rambam, this is like the second Moses for the Jewish people, prospered. And I think this is something that many... Do you think many just don't know about it, have forgotten it? Do the elders? I mean, because now, especially in this what's happening now in Gaza, you would think that they've been long-standing enemies for such a long time. But actually, Muslims, even in Palestine, they're welcomed the Jews with open arms. Can you shed some light? Are you very familiar with this?
Yeah, so there's a great line in a recent, it was written in the 60s by the beloved Palestinian writer Hassan Kanafani, and it's called On Zionist Literature. And it was recently translated into English for the first time, just three or so years back. And there's this great line that I would like to reference. I'm just gonna bring it up on my phone and see if I can find it. It's so spot on in this is so relevant to what you're talking about.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Yes, please do.
This is in the chapter on the Zionists used Hebrew as a colonial instrument, right? So this is quoting Ghassan Kanafani. As the quote-unquote Zionist movement struggled to transform Judaism into a national bond, it was necessary for it to appeal to Hebrew because it represented the only possibility through which such a bond may be forged. Judaism had ceased to be a national bond for nearly 2,000 years and had since lacked all the requisites of national cohesion. Indeed, there had not been a common sense of geography, civilization, economy, culture, or politics among the world's Jews, and there certainly was not an ethnic kinship. Thus, language became of utmost importance. So I think this is a good introduction to talk about regional, so to speak, kind of delineations between Jews today. Right, you mentioned, lands in southern Europe, and in Al-Andalus, especially in Andalus, there's the term I'm sure you may be aware of it called the Sephardic. The Sephardic Jews are those Jews who lived in Spain and in the Iberian Peninsula, but it also had branched out to include, other parts of Western and Southern Europe and, Turkey and maybe North Africa to some extent, I'm not sure, but I guess maybe North African Jews with North African ancestry would also be referred to as like Maghrebi Jews. Of course, Maghreb is kind of a term for Morocco, but it has also kind of become a term to include those Jews with ancestry from North Africa. And the term Mizrahi Jew, Mizrahi is like Eastern, it is cognate to the Arabic of Mashrik. And that's also kind of an elusive term, just saying, oh, this is someone is an Eastern Jew. It's like, well, what is East, here? Where is it in relation to East of what? And and then this term as well of Ashkenazi Jew, which I mean, Ashkenaz is. I mean, that the name Ashkenaz is the most unique out of all of these that I've listed so far because Ashkenaz was a biblical figure. It's a name, and the name is a very interesting name because it implies has connotations of like flame and spark and sparkle and so on, and there's others. There's some others. Right, like the Ethiopian Jews, there's a name to refer to Jews from Ethiopia and Abyssinia, and the Jews from Yemen as well, and other parts of Arabia. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting history there with the diaspora of Jewish folks throughout history. And something that I was reflecting on a lot in the months right just before I took Shahada was that, yes, exile was a big part of Jewish history in migration, but we should also think about other possible causes of migration, such as weather patterns, right? Seasonal changes, environmental changes, trade, right? Commerce. We're talking about the Silk Route, the Silk Road, crossing through lands in which Jews have long lived, and as well as culture, connections, making friends, family ties, marriages with tribes from other lands, near and far. It's really sad to think about how the Zionists have just, crystallized this exilic mindset, this exile mindset. That's all that they really think about when they think about how and why Jews have moved throughout history. They only think in this negative exile mindset, this defeatist mindset. And it's sad. It's really sad to live that way. I mean, and not think of all the other possibilities of life.
Tell me this. Before we conclude, just a couple more things I want to cover with you. There's a growing number of interests, more than ever before, of Christians and others wanting to get more familiar with the Talmud. Can you tell our audience a little bit? I thought you, coming from this background, you'd be familiar. We know the Torah. We believe in the Torah. This is what was given in its original to Moses, peace be upon him. And then you have this Talmud. What is the Talmud, and did you study it at all?
No, I have never studied the Talmud. I would never recommend anyone to study the Talmud.
You never recommend anyone to study it.
It's full of bloodshed and violence, from what I've read in On Zionist Literature by Ghassan Kanafani. I'm not saying don't open it, but because it is a part of Judaic, the Judaic trajectory, but it's not a book that I take to just kind of from my own perspective. From my understanding, it was written by rabbis, by religious leaders, throughout time, and I think it's kind of distracting from some of the core Yisraeliyat, like I've mentioned, these Yisraelisms, these stories, these biblical stories that have threads of meaning. If you want something compiled recently, I recommend 1001 Yiddish Proverbs by Fred Kogos.
Let me get your reaction to this question. It's connected.
You've consistently promoted the idea that America was built on Judeo-Christian values. However, as a devout Christian, I have difficulty accepting the term given Judaism's rejection of Jesus. Christians believe Jesus Christ is God. In contrast, the Talmud, a central Jewish holy book, teaches that Jesus is burning in hellfire and excrement. And while the New Testament tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, Sofrim 15 of the Talmud states that even the best of the Gentiles should be killed. Given these irreconcilable differences, why do you insist on using this oxymoronic term?
Okay, so first of all, that's a really bad read of the Talmud. Second of all, the notion that you can cite any text in support of the idea that Judaism broad writ is somehow disdainful or hateful of Christians or of people who are not Jewish is, in fact, a tremendous misread of Judaism over the centuries and particularly today. I can cite sections in the New Testament that I find personally problematic. I can certainly cite segments in the Quran that I find personally problematic. The truth is I could probably find place in the Old Testament that I find personally problematic. That does not speak to what Judaism is and its historic impact on the world. Judaism is the foundation of Christianity. Jesus himself acknowledged this. The New Testament acknowledges this.
Yeah, that going into, this is my question, when people are having more and more interest in the Talmud so much that now they're asking these questions of things that are in there that you are kind of having a disdain for, but they keep coming up to people like Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk, many others. What are your thoughts on your reaction to this clip?
I don't know. I mean, I don't.
Let me give you mine, and you can go off from there if you want.
Yeah. What do you?
So when I see that, I see that this is something. When I opened the show with, I think it's very important that this term Judeo-Christian, I think there is, you know, I think Judeo-Christian, I think this is something that's sort of a myth. And I think that when you look at Jesus, the pivotal figure there in Christianity, and then you have this in the Talmud saying that Jesus is boiling in hell and is, you know, the most vile things about his mother. But now you have, they've kind of teamed up and this love, this preaching of love, you know, to even Palestinian Christians and others, where's that love, you know, in Gaza? Where's that love, you know, for the starving children there, that this evil that's being perpetuated? So now, but you can have Muslims over here, like yourself, you know, who believe in Jesus, love Jesus. If someone said anything to the sort, that person, you know, can find himself a one-way ticket to the hellfire, disrespecting his mother or Jesus. So I think we have a balance between both, that now you we respect and safeguard Jews as we did in the past, and also in the text you have that their life and their religion, they're considered people of the book, and they're safeguarded according to Islam. Same thing with the Christian. So Islam is the perfect balance between all of this chaos. But they've made the media and the hate provocateurs, and they've made it seem like Islam and Muslims are the enemy of both.
Yeah. I also, the term Judeo-Christian also doesn't sit right with me. It really conflates a lot of religious, you know, tradition and history and nuances there. And I don't know, like, Allahu Alam, you know, why people would use a term like Judeo-Christian. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's important that we should not, you know, conflate these distinct, you know, paths, right? Because Judaism goes back to the revelation of the Torah that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam received on Mount Tur in Sinai. And Christianity goes back to the revelation of the Injil, which was revealed to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And there's also the revelation of the Zabur, the Psalms, which were, I believe, revealed to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. And all of these thus far that I've listed were not universal. They were for people at a distinct time and place. And as Muslims, we believe that the final revelation, the revelation of the Quran, was revealed to the seal of the prophets, the final prophet and messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that message is a universal message of complete and total peace and love.
This is going back towards my final question. Here is the Shahada and this way of life that you've decided. This is the truth, the submission to, and surrender to the will of God. A Muslim, a submitter to God, that you can connect from the first man, Adam. He was told to submit his will to the will of God. He was a Muslim. Then you can go to Moses' time. Those who followed Moses, they were practicing submission to the will of God. Islam, that concept was always there. And they were Muslims. They were believers in Moses as a messenger, in the one God, the pure absolute monotheism, doing the same thing. And then Jesus came. He was told to submit his will to the will of God. He was calling people to submit not to himself or anyone in creation, but to the Creator. And he was a Muslim doing submission to the will of God. Islam, it's amazing. And you now, you are on that same way of life as Moses was. Jesus, the last and final messenger, is, like you said, the seal of the prophets. So take us now to the moment that you made that declaration of faith. Same declaration, testifying. If you were living in during the time of Moses, you would have said the same thing. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Musa Rasulullah, Moses the messenger. If you would have lived during the time of Jesus, you would have said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Isa Rasulullah, Jesus is the messenger. The Shahada that you took, paint us the picture. How did it come about? How did it happen? The final moment that you decided, you know, was it in the masjid? Was it at home? Take us through it.
Yes. It was on 12 Rabi al-Thani. I like to give the Hijri date. 12 Rabi al-Thani, 1445. Which was 27 October 2023. I was 27 years old. Surah Al-Naml is the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran. That's the chapter about the ant. Alhamdulillah, I got to the masjid so early. I got there so early. I got there hours before the Jummah khutbah started. And I went I made wudu, and then I walked into the masala, and I sat down next to this brother on the wall, and I said, "Assalamu alaikum, brother." He said, "Wa alaikum assalam, akhi." And I said, "Brother, I like your kafia." And he said, "Take it." I said, thank you so much. And he's from Yemen. And it's this beautiful green kafia that has, you know, the patterns of like the Palestinian kafia. It's this beautiful, you know, piece that he you know, handed me the day of my shahada. And the khatib that afternoon is Dr. Mustafa Abu Shagur from Libya, and he gave a wonderful sermon on what was happening in Palestine at the time in Gaza. And, you know, he talked about, you know, having sabr, patience, samud, steadfastness, and making sincere supplication and dua for Palestine. He walked me through the shahada. You know, I said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then said in English. And then after, he embraced me. I raised my hands, and the sheikh stood up in the front row. He was wearing all white, and his name is Sheikh Abdul Aziz. And he anointed my right hand with oil, with perfume oil. And I thought that was really powerful because the name Binyamin, one of the names of meanings of Binyamin means son of the right hand. And so I thought that was really, really special how he, the first thing he did was anoint my right hand with oil. So alhamdulillah, it was a blessed day. You know, I reflect upon it often, and when I go to the masjid and you know, see people take shahada now, I just it always gets the tears going. It's very emotional, you know, for me. And I always try to reach out and introduce myself and say, hey, you know, this is who I am. I'd love to, you know, stay in touch if you need anything, you know, as a fellow reaver, you know, I'm here for you. Alhamdulillah.
That's really unique.
That's really
amazing, because that's not part of the testimony, the shahada coming into Islam is the perfume, the anointment, what this sheikh did. But it seems like almost like a sign from Allah, because that's, you're connecting it, Benjamin, and then what did you say, the son of the anointed, the translation,
son of the right hand.
So he just happened to be there, and he just happened to unscripted just come and put some of the oil on your right hand. That's wow. Yeah, but that's not something that just typically done. That's just, it just happened to be like that. Wow, amazing, truly amazing. Really nice talking with you. Thank you for sharing your story. May God Almighty Allah continue to bless you.
And thank you.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share that we didn't cover from your story that you think is important? Let me ask you this. For those out there who are also from the Children of Israel, Jewish, and now they're listening to you, but they hear so many negative things with the media, with the press, you know, with the hate provocateurs, the fear mongers, but they like what they're seeing. They like the message, the pure absolute monotheism, accepting Jesus as the Messiah, Muhammad the last final messenger. They've dabbled a little bit into the Quran. They're looking at the authenticity of it, the miracles, prophecy. I mean, everything just fits, makes sense, but they're still struggling, right? What advice would you give to them?
I would say reach out to, there's the landscape is so vast in this, but I would say try to reach out to your local masjid if you're in an area with Muslims. I would say check out the album by Yusuf Islam, The Prayers of the Last Prophet. It's a really good introduction to Islam, and it presents very well with this balance between, you know, Arabic and English. I think there's the full album is on YouTube, Prayers of the Last Prophet. Yeah, it's like an hour long album on, it's available on YouTube, alhamdulillah. And pray, keep praying, keep making supplications to Creator, to God. Oh, right. I mentioned that El, you know, is a ancient name of God, and that has also become Elohim, and the M at the end, the meme at the end is like kind of like, oh, you know, oh God, how lovely God, how lovely is God. And then Elohim is cognate to Al-Ilah, and that, which means the God, and that of course is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, subhanallah, glory be to God, alhamdulillah, praises be to God, and Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest, God is greater than anything, than anyone, God is the greatest, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, thank you very much again.
Thank you so much, jazakallah khair. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We went to the streets to ask Americans about Islam. Here's what they said. Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
You know what Islam means?
Islam? No.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all?
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, then you're going to have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Help us to build the Dean Center, the first mega Dawah center in America. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.